This is the Gloucester Cast. We should actually name it the Nasal Cast. I'm here with Kim Smith. Kim Smith has a terrible cold, but she's been dying to come in to do a podcast. Say hi, Kim.
Good morning. Good morning, Joey. Good morning, Gloucester.
Are you going to make it?
I am. I have my tissues and my water all ready to go here.
You know, it'd be really awesome. It'd be really awesome if we got you to like blow your nose a couple times into the mic.
I really hope that doesn't happen. I'm not going to do that.
Blow your nose, cough all over the mic.
Coughing on mic.
Spread some germs.
No, I'm trying not to spread germs.
What's in your in your tumbler right there?
San Pellegrino water.
Oh, really? Not coffee?
Yeah, not coffee.
Not tea?
No.
Because you're not feeling well. I would think some tea with lemongrass.
Yeah, I already had tea, a lot of tea this morning. That was enough tea.
What kind of tea did you have?
Darjeeling.
That's what I usually have
in the morning is Darjeeling.
No, no, no. Kim Smith music. No, no, no. I got to get like a little... clip of Julia Child's intro music, and every time you come on, I should play that before.
This is a question I have for the Good Morning Gloucester listener.
Oh.
Do you think I sound like Julia Child? Joe constantly teases me about sounding like Julia Child, so.
I don't know that you sound like you just sound like very aristocrat. This is Kim Smith, and we will be talking about the butterflies. That's gonna be a poll question. We're gonna put that as a poll question. So you grew up? Where did you grow up? For the people,
I grew up all over the country.
But where were your formative years? Where, like 7 to 20?
Okay, well, even at 7, we were moving around. So every year we moved someplace different.
Were your father in the military?
No, he worked for Xerox. He was director of corporate communications for Xerox.
Oh, interesting.
So we were transferred from upstate New York to California, back to New York again.
So you didn't spend any time in England?
No.
Or France?
No, just all over the country. And then when my parents were divorced, we moved to the Cape Cod, which is, we were near my grandmother and my aunt's homes. And that always felt like home because we always spent summers there.
So was that much, the communities there a little bit like Gloucester? Seaside communities?
Very much so. Yeah. But on the Cape, it's more, especially in the wintertime, it's a lot more families, broken families, because everybody has a summer home. People have summer homes on the Cape, so when there would be a divorce.
Inevitably, someone ended up in that summer home? Interesting. Okay.
And then there isn't a lot of, except for tourism, there isn't a thriving
industry
there historically has been in Gloucester. I mean, I'm sure there was fishing and salt marsh, hay cultivation and all that kind of stuff, but it's not like it is.
You never, most people don't know about you is that you are down in the Cape, you are one of these. Like shot girls, like you had the holster with the tequila, and you went around pouring. Isn't that true? Weren't you like a bartender or a bar girl and on the Cape for a couple summers?
Yeah, but I don't know what that is. No, what happened was, let's see. When I was 16, I had worked in restaurants for several years during the summer, and I just decided I needed to make more money. My dad was not helping my mom financially, and she had four children.
Oh, wow.
And I was the oldest of four children. So I bought a little car, got into my car and drove to Chatham. And there was a rock and roll club on the main road there, Route 28, I think it was. It was called the Lightship or the Lighthouse or something like that. And I applied for a job, and I got it.
At 16. And that wasn't legit, though, at the time.
No, it wasn't. The drinking age was 18 at the time. But I fudged it, my application. Actually, I worked there for 2 years, all through high school and Let's see, by the time...
Were they fun years? Was it creepy? There's probably like older men hitting on you the whole time.
It was, you know, it was a different... I had a different kind of childhood.
Did you date during that time?
Yes, I had a boyfriend at that time, but he didn't...
You were a shot girl and you dated. Did your boyfriend jealous?
Well, he was a little bit older than I was, and he, you know, worked as a chef in a restaurant, in a different
incestuous restaurant. The whole incestuous restaurant industry.
It wasn't like how Joey's saying it anyway. So the interesting part was I worked for this great guy, Bobby McGovern, who I've lost touch with over the years, but the 3 days before my 18th birthday, as I was driving into work, I was stopped for speeding, and the officer said, you're not 18. Don't you work down the street at the lighthouse? And I said, oh yeah, but I just work in the kitchen or something. So I continued on to work. He came in about an hour later. Ooh. I saw him come in.
The cop?
The cop did. Oh. I saw him come in. I ran and hid in the bathroom for about an hour. Because that's, you know, my level of sophistication and maturity at the time.
Knees knocking.
And I came out the bathroom door after about an hour. And my boss, Bobby, was standing outside the bathroom door with his arms folded over his chest.
Oh.
And I was head cocktail waitress by this time. Anyway,
wow. So yeah. So you were so you're trying to act like you weren't the shot girl. You were the head cocktail waitress.
And so then he said, "When are you going to be 18?" And I said, "In 3 days." And he was very, very nice. He said, "I could have lost my license."
Oh.
And I said, I was very apologetic. And he said, "Come back in 3 days."
Oh, nice. So you kept your job for the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Oh,
there you go. So that's my...
Teenage, that's your formative years.
Yeah. That's what I was doing during my formative years.
Now, the vernal ponds are busting loose right now. Mm-hmm. Other than this freezing cold weather we have today, like everything is on the verge of exploding, the buds and the trees and the bees and the birds and the butterflies and everything. So... I imagine in your business, you do landscape design work and, these beautiful gardens. This must be a very busy time of year for you.
It is very busy because right now I'm still doing a lot of the planning stages. So I present to clients landscape plans, and then we usually review them. We're reviewing them over this period of time and then over the next month. So even though we're not planting anything, I'm just getting everything organized, because then once about the middle of April, you know, my whole backyard becomes loaded up with plants. I'm going to, you know, dozens of nurseries, stocking up, getting all the plant orders, and so we're just really, I'm really getting into high gear right
I'm
now.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I just came back from Mexico to film the butterflies, and that's been a lifelong dream of mine, and then filming for the St. Joseph Project. So now I just basically put my beloved film projects on hold for a little while.
Because you have to make some money.
While I get all my gardens organized and get all my clients happy and underway.
What a great life you have, though, because it's all everything you do is creative. Yeah. So you can immerse yourself. Like, you don't have to worry about all the crap of life, you know, that comes at you and stuff like that, because you just throw yourself into your creative projects. And when you throw yourself into your creative projects, you know, you don't have the, you don't have to, your mind is in a good place.
It is in a good place. It's a lot of, I would say, it's very physically demanding, the gardening aspect of it all. It's never dull. It's never boring. Mm. It's always fabulous, and I meet wonderful people, because I specialize in creating butterfly and habitat gardens. So already the people that I'm working with have an interest in the environment and have an awareness, and so I don't know.
Speaking of butterflies, monarchs are in danger.
Yes, they are.
We're not going to go into the whole GMO versus no GMO thing. We're not talking about that.
No.
But what I wanted to talk about was, was it a couple years ago you did the
Cape Ann Milkweed Project.
You were responsible for that.
Yeah.
We had the pickup down here at the dock. It was very successful.
It was very successful, and it was very sweet, and I'm so appreciative to you of sponsoring it and having it here.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of fun with it. It was, you know, so many friends of the blog came down, picked up their milkweed. We get to have conversations with these people. It was a blast. So, I guess the question is, I know you're really busy. I don't mean to put you on the spot right here, but is there a chance of us doing it again?
Yeah, I have been thinking about it. It's just,
You're too busy right now.
I'm really busy.
No, that's
busy
fine.
Right
I mean,
now.
I just
you know,
thought
I would,
no.
I would love to do it, and I really have to think about it.
Yeah.
This year, just
right.
because.
Sorry, for, I totally put you on the spot. Right.
No, that's all right. No, because but anybody who's people who have been emailing me asking me that, I'm just telling them I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I give them sources
right.
of where they can.
Well, maybe like you know when you're looking for something a post to do,
we could
highlight. Okay, listen, we may not be able to provide you
it.
The things of the pickup down at the dock and in a mug up style thing.
But
you know, this is where you can go get them. And if you really do care about the butterfly like we do and you know, and stuff like that, and you know, it's a beautiful thing to have these butterflies roaming around in your garden and stuff like that. It's not a big investment. It's something to do. And even if you have kids, it's something fun to do with them.
Yeah.
So we'll eventually, okay. I'm not going to say we, because you're going to do all the heavy lifting. You'll explain,
you will explain
people how to, what to do, where
to
get them.
Do.
When do those plants usually come in?
Those were little tiny plugs that I special ordered. So that would, I think we did it in May or June.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly.
It was a nice day out.
I feel like it was May. We could possibly do it in June also because usually the milkweed plants are small enough still at
yeah.
the time of year. The thing with milkweed plants is that you want to get the smallest plant possible because they have a single tap root, and they don't like being transplanted.
Interesting.
So once the tap root becomes more established, then it it becomes more difficult to transplant the plant.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. So I have a story to tell you about when I was filming the Feast of Saint Joseph, and I did filmed Joe Virgilio making the Saint Joseph rolls. He shared with me a wonderful story about how this was 2 years ago in 2012 when we had a phenomenal monarch migration. And he was talking about how beautiful it was. He was out on his boat that one Sunday and he saw millions of monarchs streaming across.
There we go. I got one in.
Nice.
Don't die on me. Don't die
on
me.
No, I'm just going to have a sip of water.
Yeah. San Pellegrino.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon.
So,
this pushing that flavored San Pellegrino lately.
Oh,
have you noticed
really?
In
no,
all the supermarkets.
I'm
sorry for interrupting. Joe Virgilio, who's on his boat,
was on his boat, and he was just awestruck, and he had a very joyful expression on his face when he was telling me about this story about seeing all these beautiful butterflies streaming across the water heading towards Eastern Point, and it just so happened I happened to be on the point that day, and I was there lying on my back filming the butterflies as they were pouring in over the water
wow.
that one particular day. So
because it happens, these are moments.
Yeah, it's very brief, it's very fleeting. You know
they're coming as
a
pack.
Right, if you're there in the right place, that's the
you
right
experience. You get
right.
to experience it.
Right, and that reminded me of another thing that happened one year when I know you mentioned that you wanted to talk about fashion. And years ago when I used to design clothes, we were doing a photo shoot on Nahant. And I was designing these beautiful, like, one-piece swimwear that were shirt and in these beautiful, like, animal prints. And all the models were in their swimwear, and they were, like, draped all over the rocks in Nahant. We were photographing and filming. And we saw the same thing. We saw a stream of monarchs, coming over the water from Nahant onto the land in Nahant. So
I was wondering where you were going with that story.
Yeah. So that was anyway. So there we are. This was like I don't know, 25 years ago.
Well, yeah, but it happens every year. It's one of the things. Just like
actually,
the fish that go north and south.
This year it didn't happen, and it doesn't always happen every year. Like in 2011, we barely had any butterflies. However, on Cape May, they had one of their best years ever recorded. Mm. So it just depends. I think a lot has to depends on air currents and wind circulation and weather, where they end up streaming through.
Are there butterfly counters? Like, they, you know, they count the alewives?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's a similar thing,
well,
is it not?
I mean, in this film that I just did, a little mini film for the trip to Mexico, was interviewing Dr. Emil at the Tapa Serra Chincha biosphere. And his specialty is counting butterflies. So you'll see in the film exactly how, you'll learn in the film exactly how you count millions of butterflies. I mean, you don't get like...
the butterfly counter.
You don't get like, you know, down to the single, you know, digit, you know, variable. But anyway, it's very interesting how you count masses of butterflies. So you, if you want to learn, you'll have to listen. It's about halfway through, Joe.
I'll be all over that.
I know.
I will be all over that. That'd be so awesome.
I'm
laughing right now behind the scenes, but it's not the reason you think I'm laughing. You think I'm totally disinterested right now, but that is not the case. What I'm laughing is because I remembered, you know, how about you were putting these things about how lovable the dogs are and stuff like that. And the reason I was laughing was because, you know, it's all how I say it, it's all perspective. And me and Felicia and I grew up in a house where we were afraid of dogs, and then she got over her fear of dogs with this, you know, cute little dog that she has now that, you know, is not that aggressive. But I was, for some reason, like when I go to my YouTube page, the first thing it gives me is like videos that you should, you know, you might be interested in, you know, recommended videos,
right.
I guess it is, it's
right.
a thing.
Right.
So they had one of the videos was the dog whisperer, and there's this guy that's like the dog, you know, he's like loves dogs and stuff
right.
like that. But the thing of it is like, and he's supposed to be like, he can tame any dog, you know, the crazy dogs and stuff. But the fucking video was of the guy trying to calm the dog down, and the dog jumps down on his arm and he bites the dog.
Oh,
so I'm
no.
like,
oh
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
These dogs are so lovable. You know, the guy's like, oh, he's just cute. The dogs are licking his face and everything else. They're like,
wow.
But you know what? It's all these people. They're like, oh, he just senses fear. He's really a lovable dog. He's so wonderful. Isn't he cute? The dog's like,
well, you know, Joey, that happens when you're walking your dog, like we'll come up to somebody and they'll pass somebody and they'll say, well, he's just a little barky. And then the dog comes tearing after your dog and you're like, okay, what, you know, that wasn't really the accurate warning.
Yeah, it's cute when you're on the other side of the leash when he's leaping for your throat.
No.
Yeah, he's just a little yappy. He's just a little yappy, that's all. He's a little barky. When your jugular vein is like dripping blood.
Well, most dogs aren't like that, and dogs have been most dogs have genetically, they've been programmed for thousands of years to be
chilled out.
To be chilled out. So
yeah.
When we first got our first Scottish Terrier, our vet said to us, "Gee, I've never met such a sweet a Scottish Terrier with such a sweet disposition."
Well, usually they bite.
And I said, oh, I didn't know that, because my grandmother had a Scottish Terrier. And I heard that over and over again. So, but both Scottish Terriers that we have had have been adorable and sweet.
Yeah,
so
Cosmo is a cute dog.
Yeah, Rosie.
That was Cosmo.
Cosmo's our kitty. Is our little black kitty.
Oh, yeah, the
dog warrior.
The Rosie.
Cosmo is our warrior kitty. Has survived.
Oh, that's the one with the coyote attack.
Right, she survived
the head ripped open.
Right.
That was very graphic. The photos were very graphic.
Very graphic photo. And he has he has what I call kitty Alzheimer's now from his head injury.
Interesting.
He's reverted back to being like a kitten.
That's kind of a good thing.
Right. Well, it's a little pesky. He just, you know, every, like, if a bathrobe tie that goes by,
he's gotta get it.
He has to play with everything. When he was a kitten, he used to like sit on my, come and sleep on my head at night, and now he wants to do the same thing. And his face is a little crooked
from the scar.
No, because when a coyote kills its prey, it tries to suffocate it, and it puts its fang, you know, bites down on it to quickly kill it. And one fang went through the top of his head, and one went up through his jaw. So his face is like this now. So, but he's still such a sweet kitty.
Oh, very sweet kitty. Very sweet.
He is very sweet.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Now, this happens to me enough that it's a thing. But like, if someone, you're on the phone and they gotta say, "Well, I may bring my partner along."
Right.
Does your mind automatically go to the person's gay, or do you think, "Oh, maybe it's just they haven't been married for a long time."
Long. I think I would just automatically think that they were gay.
Right.
When they say partner, I know it's probably. You know, maybe that's not politically correct or not, but
I don't know. It's because it's interesting because, like, sometimes...
That's my association when you say partner.
No, because Marty's son, you know, was with this woman for a long time.
And
he said he introduced her as his partner.
His partner, right. Well,
and I was like, he's your partner. What do you mean she's your partner? Is she your girlfriend or she's your wife? Your partner.
Well, I think that's a good definition.
I mean, it's fair. I'm just saying.
It's fair because she's probably moved beyond the status of girlfriend, but they're not actually married yet.
Right, I understand what you're saying.
Right,
yeah.
If they've been together for a long time.
But he didn't want to commit to her. So you call her the partner instead of the...
Right, maybe they
then
have...
Maybe you go girlfriend, partner, life partner, fiancé.
Well, maybe she doesn't want to commit to him, so...
Interesting.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
Right, so you never know. Or maybe they are very committed, but they just don't feel the need to be married. You know,
married?
Like
yeah.
my own dad would, it would be good for him to just have partners.
Yeah.
Because he's been married 7 times.
God. Yeah. No, I know. So, yeah, that's interesting, though. Like, but I think it would eliminate a lot of confusion if there was a different term. Because you don't know. You don't want to say, oh, yeah, invite the person over, whatever. Yeah, come on over. We'll have a nice time. Partner.
Well, then you'll just have to see what partner shows up.
I know.
Maybe
it's actually even better that way because, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to find out. This would be cool. We'll see what's happening. Yeah. It's so cool. I think, like, gay culture becoming so much more... accepted nowadays. You know, it's been a while now that it's very accepted, but geez, how far we've come. You know, it's just like, it seemed like just 10 years ago we were like serious cavemen. You know, but don't you think like...
No, I guess I lived in, you know, living in Boston and especially when my children were younger, everybody in our condo building was gay. Mm. You know, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot more.
But don't you would say that you're not. You're going to say that. Are you going to say in the past 10 years there is
a huge wave of acceptance
and stuff like that?
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, a huge wave. Like I think even all the polls that they do, like now, then it went to 50-50. You know, whether it should be gay marriage was be approved and things like that. So
wasn't it wild how like
I think there will be continue to be a lot of ignorance and problems in very southern states because it's
super conservative
very,
views. You mean
very 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 conservative views. They use religion as a reason for shouldn't be accepted. So I think they have a long, long way to go. I think we live in a bubble.
You know what
frankly.
I want? How I feel about the whole thing?
Yeah.
I just want people to be happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they're happy, a guy and a girl, two girls and a guy, two guys and a girl, whatever it is.
Yeah.
People should be just happy.
Happy.
You know what I mean? Just be happy and love one another and not take each other for granted. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But to dictate to someone else if it's bad for them to love a man or for a woman to love a woman. Geez, in this day and age, it's just hard to believe, wrap
it's
your mind
to,
around.
Yeah,
you know?
It's hard to imagine that.
You know?
It's hard to imagine.
I wouldn't say, you know, as growing up, when I was like a maybe an 8, 9, 10 year old. I didn't feel the same way that I feel now. Not that I thought it was terrible or anything, but like, you know, the way we grew up, like, you know, gay people were like, oh, it's like a whole different subset of people, like, wow, you know. But now I'm happy that there's all this awareness, and you know, and you know, this awareness, you know, the best thing that could probably happen was this whole, you know, the Southie parade, the, you know, the negative attention that goes to those people that don't let the gay people walk.
Right.
And it just shows people.
And then, didn't like Sam Adams pull out?
They pulled out as a sponsor and stuff like that. And
I think that's great, terrific, tremendous.
And I like it when those companies do it for the right reasons, and they're not doing it to make fine, you know, to to gain favor with a certain, you know, group of people to sell more stuff, you know. But I think that they had the best interest in mind. Yeah, it's always an interesting thing. I like when people, when someone says, "Oh, I'll bring my partner," I'm like, "Oh." I mean, roulette. We can see who shows up. I mean, it can be interesting.
It should be interesting, right?
So you're an iPhone person. Craig Kimberly yesterday, his hard drive burned up, and he did not have it backed up. And you can imagine.
Oh my God.
How much?
Okay.
Now you back up everything. No, you're guilty.
I'm guilty, and he has a Mac computer.
He's got a Mac, and yes. They just work, right? He's a Mac person.
Right. No, I had this conversation with Donna about a year ago. Yeah. And she sat me down and she said, "Have you ever seen grown men cry?" And that really hit home for me. And then I backed up my photos about a year. That was like a year ago. But I need to have an IT person, or I need to speak to somebody who can help me just figure out the whole, like,
you got to do it. With the content that you have gathered, and then the countless hours of time of gathering this content. Rick Artizzoni, Donna's husband, set me up on Carbonite.
But he specializes in
PC. But Carbonite, you tell me Carbonite doesn't work for...
I'm not sure.
I bet you it does.
But if there's a GMG listener out there today, who I would love to hire somebody to help me sort this out, because it's so important, and I've just have
you should ask Rick first, because Rick is our go-to computer guy.
But for some reason, I just thought Donna couldn't help me. I asked her, but I could be mistaken.
I hear good things about the people downtown, the Mac specialist people downtown across from Leonardo's. Have you been into that place?
No, across from Leonardo's on East Main. Oh, I think about 2 years ago, Olivia was in between. We were trying to get her one computer fixed long enough to last until she could get a new computer. So I believe we used them at that time.
Well, Rick set me up on my PC with Carbonite, and what it does is, it, you know, and you select what folders on your computer. I have all my major documents and photos and videos uploaded to Carbonite, and how it works is you set it for when you want the uploading to begin, because it would take weeks and weeks to do this all at once, but it senses when you are on the computer, it kind of shuts down the backing up process, so it's not slowing you down, because like that might be an issue. I don't want to lose, like, you know, be able to, like,
I have to upload about 9 hours of footage, and it's just made my computer so slow this morning, even though I'm importing it into an external hard drive. It's still running off my internal hard drive. The process, operation is, and it was just awful. It was painful.
Yeah.
So this is good.
I think this is a good way to, like, I think mine is finally, it might have taken a couple of weeks, because, you know, I have countless hours of video files and stuff like that.
Right.
And video files, as you know, are huge.
Right.
So I think it's finally up to stuff, and I think that what happens is if your thing crashes, I don't have this for my business computer, which I should have. If it crashes, I think you can order like a hard drive with your stuff on it, which would be amazing, right? Because it's off-site. Everything else.
Yeah. Okay.
Carbonite, that's what we use.
Carbonite,
and for PC people, contact Rick Artizzoni. It's Rick Moore. Donna goes by Artizzoni, but she's with Rick Moore.
Well, they would be the first I would contact if I thought that they could help me.
Yeah, they're awesome people. Yeah.
Oh, but I'm really upset for Craig.
Oh, I know. I know.
Oh, that's terrible.
That is bananas. And he uses it for work. I mean, he's a video editor. He has it for work. Oh, man. Crazy. Oh, so here's a question for you.
Okay.
We always do this, like, geeky thing. Your iPhone, are there any apps that...
I don't know.
No, has Liv
oh, yeah,
turned you on?
Like Vine. That's an app, right?
Oh, you like the Vine app.
Yeah, I love Vine.
Yeah.
And
you haven't done any Vines lately, have you?
No, I haven't, but that's because I thought I would do Vines, like, in Mexico, but that was silly.
That would have been great.
There's no service there.
Oh, yeah.
And then Instagram. But I use a Vine much more. Oh, and I love... The other one I love is Shazam.
Oh, to find to, yeah, if you're in a, if you're out and about,
yeah, I love
and there's a music song that you but you hear but you don't know the title of it. You press the button, it listens to the music, it identifies it.
Exactly.
You can and it gives you the link to if you wanted to go purchase it.
Yeah.
You could purchase it right away.
And then it also, if you don't want to do anything with it, it also lists all the songs that you've checked
tagged.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to go back and so I really like that. So
that's a great one. Yeah.
That's what I. I don't spend that much time
Shazam.
On my phone.
Shazam!
So, but those are two that I actually use.
Shazam! Do you remember Shazam, the show on Saturday mornings?
No.
After your time.
Well, also, don't forget, I worked all through.
Shazam!
All through school.
Okay,
school.
Last
work
question. Right. Foodie question. Not foodie question, because anyone that identifies themselves as a foodie, we want to punch them in the throat.
Are we talking about fashion today, too?
Oh, yes! Okay, all right, we'll go. So we have a couple topics. So food, any good food meals that you've had around town
tonight
lately?
Tonight we're going to Duckworth, and
ooh.
I'm going to have, this is exactly what I'm going to have. This is what he had last one. So
lobster risotto?
Of course, lobster risotto, but another new thing that he has that I love. So now I only get a half an order of lobster risotto.
Smart.
Because I get the other order, the appetizer of Coquille Saint-Jacques. So
Coquille Saint-Jacques!
And that
what is that?
That is so delicious.
Coquille is
a
clam?
It's scallops.
Scallops
baked with a very delicious creamy cheese sauce. I think there's a little cheese in it and mushrooms.
Ooh.
And it's really, really good.
It's delightful.
So that is what I am having for dinner tonight.
It's delightful. My God. That's great. We're gonna get back to fashion because we started talking fashion with Felicia and BJ in the last podcast. It'll end up being two podcasts ago because we have Lynn Parisi's coming up. But the question was, what do you think was the best era for fashion? And I think you and I are in big time agreement. I didn't come up with this at the time. But thinking back, why don't you talk about? Because we should also mention that you are qualified to answer this because you have a background in fashion design.
I designed clothes for about 15 years, I studied drafting, draping, pattern making, and I was very hands on. I made all the samples, traveled to New York, sold the collections, and the swimsuits that I was talking about earlier that I designed, those were for Bergdorf Goodman. And
is that the one that Gail Huff wore?
Yes, Gail was, and she was beautiful.
She had those lips.
Yeah, well,
she had big lips.
She had a beautiful figure.
Yeah,
all the
beautiful.
Models.
She's still beautiful.
Yeah, she's very beautiful. And all the models that I worked with, it was a collaborative effort because the photographer that I worked with and the stylist, we were all getting photos for our books. And so we all worked together. It was one fabulous time, wonderful experience.
What kind of cameras did they shoot with back then? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
Were they rangefinders or were they big?
No, bigger.
Medium
like,
format?
Yeah, bigger format. Not rangefinders at all.
Mm.
Let's see. I'm trying to think what my friend Clark, I did a lot of work with Clark Quinn.
Oh, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the guy?
Yeah, yeah. Who does the beautiful guitars now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Many people from the area may know Clark Quinn, but and know that he had a stroke. But he now lives in Nashville, and because his family lives in that area, and he's doing very well.
So we'll get on track.
Okay, so back on track. So periods of time that I found very inspirational when I was designing clothes were the 20s, the 30s, but most especially the 1955 on up through 1965.
Mad Men era.
Yeah, I thought that was just a really just a fabulous era.
Timeless. Every part of that is timeless.
Yeah.
Like you can't. I don't think you can say that. Like that era. Then I like the one like we were talking about with all like even in photos and gloss are like the men wore the fedoras.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that?
I think that was
late 30s?
I think that would be late 30s 40s. All the way through the 1940s probably.
Yeah. Those two eras, yeah. I would say for me, like Mad Men, completely badass. Yeah.
And I know that you have a thing about like high waisted pants. But I'm going to send you a photo of some like iconic film stars in high waist like. If you think of Katharine Hepburn in like high-waisted men's trouser type pants,
you're talking about ones with suspenders, kind of like that. Yeah, but that's completely different than mom jeans.
Okay, well, yeah, mom jeans. I understand that, but also think about like Marilyn Monroe in the late 50s or mid 50s in high-waisted jeans and a little button-down shirt. I mean, she looks gorgeous.
Yeah, but wait a second. When you talk about Marilyn Monroe, you can't get past her boobs and her face. So it doesn't matter what she's wearing. You know what I mean? Because like she's so stunningly beautiful. Her eyes in a picture.
Yeah.
I'm not critiquing her high-waisted jeans, but like.
But that's a great. But that was a great look in the 50s. The high-waisted jeans.
But they were kind of like a satiny.
Weren't they just jeans? No lines
on them. They just kind of like went straight down. Very like
That's just a slim pair of trousers or pants that you're talking about. Women actually wore jeans.
All right, I want you to do. I will take. I'm gonna let you put together your best collection. This is gonna be a collaborative post. Your best photos of women wearing high-waisted jeans.
Okay.
I'm gonna put together my worst collection of women in mom jeans, and then I'm gonna put up a collection of classic. Women in pants or whatever, and then you can critique what I have to say.
All right.
And we're gonna see where this drops on this. We're gonna put this out to vote.
All right.
And see where the cookie crumbles.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
But you're gonna have, but like you know, if you're gonna put Marilyn Monroe, you could put her in a gunny sack dress.
I can put anything.
But you can put her in a gunny sack dress, and she's gonna look stunning. I mean, it's Marilyn Monroe, one of the most beautiful women of all times.
I'll cut her face off, so you won't have to see her face.
No, it's fair. Put her in there, but I was just saying, the highlight is the low-cut blouse, you know what I mean, or her beautiful lipstick and her eyes.
I'm trying to think what film it was from that I'm remembering this from, but I'll send you a photo. I'll send you a still from the film.
Okay. All right. I'll see.
And I wanted to tell you something. I wanted to say to you what a fabulous job you've been doing on your podcasts.
Oh,
I just
think
they're so interesting and great way to highlight local people. I love the one that you did with Ken, how do you pronounce it?
Ken Hecht.
I thought that was really terrific.
We got a couple. It's like the one tonight with Felicia is awesome. Mm-hmm. The one with Lynn Parisi I taped yesterday was awesome. This one is, I consider, a really great one. I think we're getting better at them, and there's less dead spots. So, I think the key is to not get too far off topic, and rambly.
Yeah.
Just have fun. So I love the conversations. I love people anyway, so.
Well, that comes across in your podcast. That really comes across.
All right. Kim, this is a good one. 38 minutes.
Oh, is that a long one, or?
No, 38 is on the upper end, which is a good one. We're not trying to push it at all. That's what I like. But for Joey Shimatao, my good friend Kim Smith.
Okay, bye-bye.
Another Gloucester cast.
Thank you, Joey.
In the books, baby. Boom!